Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd, who I think he's in Iceland. Maybe we'll get a Herdline news from Iceland. That's what we'll do. We got a great show for you today, as it is obviously Memorial Day. Maybe most interestingly, it's a day in which we not only honor people that have given the ultimate sacrifice, but it's going to culminate in what I think most of us think is going to end up being a historic, I don't know, comeback or collapse. Right, and it's both. You know, yeah, I'm sure the debate shows, but was it a comeback or was it a collapse? Now, the Celtics have to win one more game. Let's first work our way back through game six before we get to game seven. Weird game, which the Celtics led virtually the entire game up until a late game run. Basically, Jimmy Butler started getting to the free throw line. And, you know, the Celtics nearly had their own in-game collapse. Keep in mind, the Celtics could not buy a three-point shot. I mean, couldn't throw one in the absolute ocean. Right? Couldn't throw one in the ocean. But, and then Jimmy Butler, and it looked like he, and I understand the rule for double dribble, but it did look like he traveled because you can lose a ball, but when you pick it up and then you lose it and you take two steps, by definition, that's a travel. Nonetheless, a dumb foul by Al Horford. Butler makes all three free throws. They did reset the clock to 3 seconds, which seemed a little bit generous, although like when the last 2 minutes report came out yesterday, it mentioned nothing about it. It said they got the timing right. So it must have been, you know, an early start to when the ball came in bounds. They must have timed it out and figured that's what it was. I thought it was a little early. But in a crazy sequence of events, the Celtics get a last-second shot. Marcus Smart misses a round and out. Like there are several things that are not discussed because Derek White's the hero. Not discussed is, it wasn't like Marcus Smart missed bad. That thing was up, in and out. If it came to the other side of the hoop, Jason Tatum was right there jumping, seemed to time it out, so they could have gotten a tip dunk or another sort of finish. But they didn't. And Derek White, who was taking the ball inbounds, throws it in. And his man loses him, and he ends up cutting to the basket and getting a tip-in finish. And like, look, it's a, I don't know if you want to go Derek Wittenberg, NC State. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but I believe in elimination games, this is only the second buzzer-beating shot in an elimination game to be made to win a game. Have you guys seen that? The other one, obviously, is Michael Jeffrey Jordan, which let me start by saying this. If you've spent a holiday weekend tweeting stats or game videos or an opinion about Jordan or LeBron being the GOAT because of whatever, when neither are playing, as somebody who loves basketball, who idolized and watched Michael Jordan, who's I've actually the start of my national media career, really, at least in radio, culminated with the 2003 NBA draft. So I've seen the whole thing for LeBron James. If you're tweeting about, well, LeBron's the GOAT because, Jordan's the GOAT because, and neither are playing, you got to find a hobby. And this ain't it. All right, let's get to the actually what happened. I mean, it was amazing. That was an incredible game, an incredible atmosphere. Did you, Jay Stu, my producer alongside, did you see the video of the wedding party that thought the game was over? Like, literally,
I couldn't stop watching it.
They have a Miami Heat flag. I did not know anybody had a Miami Heat flag.
Doug, you've been married, and yes. And you've been to marriages. You've been in weddings. How do you think the bride and the bride's mom felt about somebody saying, we're going to bring a Miami Heat flag to the reception?
I don't know the level of fandom. I just didn't like. I do remember that when LeBron decided to play for the Heat, right? They famously showed a sports bar in South Beach, and there was like five people in there cheering, right? These are the Miami Heat fans that famously left the arena Game 6 against the Spurs, and you have a couple interviews going, man, it was a great year. They didn't even know that they came back. Ray Allen hit the shot, and they won the game. But that was one of the most amazing videos ever. And I was actually at a bar. I was at the OC Tavern. I'll give him a shout out in San Clemente, California. My daughter's rock band from Los Rios School of Music, whatever. They're up there rocking. She's playing Tool and Korn. And I popped out because I'm watching the game on my phone. I'm like, I got to watch the end of this. And it was a little confusing because the score bug didn't change, right? The score bug is where the score is, right? Even after the refs went back and reviewed it, but I saw it firsthand. I was like, that's in. And yet people are going crazy. But the video, if you haven't seen it, you can Google, right? Go to Google and Google it, and you'll be like, I can't. So who is the guy? They didn't have the video of somebody telling them. That's the video that's missing. Is there a video, Jay Stu, that exists of somebody telling them, like, hey, guys, actually, the shot counted, and they lost, and now they got to
I did not see that. It literally cuts off at the point where somebody probably figured it out.
That was a remarkable thing. Here's Derek White on TNT after the game.
It don't do no good to stand in the corner there, whether he makes it or not. So I just was crashing the glass, and it came right to me. But yeah, it's going to be a little crazy. My phone's already blowing up, but get home tomorrow, play with Hendricks. I'm sure he won't look at me any differently, so that would be cool.
Hendricks obviously is his son. Here's Jason Tatum on the wild finish.
That felt like the longest 10 seconds ever waiting for confirmation if he made it or not. I'm still like in disbelief. That's crazy. But, you know, I'm glad we got another chance, another opportunity. Just the grit that we showed to get to this moment, I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be on this team. And I've never been so excited to go back to Boston in my life. And I cannot wait to see all the fans on Monday because it's going to be fun.
Remember, Jason Tatum last Game 7, which was last series, he had 50. And he played well, but they did not shoot the three well. Jaylen Brown, who's been up and down, hasn't shot the ball well in the series. He summed up the series this way.
It don't get too much worse than being down 0-3. Like, we feel like we've been in hell and back. We feel like we can face any adversity that gets thrown at us. It all means nothing if we don't come out and give our best effort on our home floor on Monday night.
No, it's true. You know, what's interesting is after game three, here's why it's a historic comeback. It's not just because they're the first team to come back from three games to none down. I'm just forcing a game seven is outstanding. But remember back to game three. If you didn't, I think they lost, was it 128-100? Like, it was not a competitive basketball game. They completely no-showed. It was almost like a player revolt against whether it's each other or the coaches or the whatever. They were awful. And they got one. And it is one of those things where you're like, I wonder why more teams can't figure it out, where it's like, it's just won one game. Now, look, they benefit from the fact that after winning one game in Miami, Gabe Vincent was hurt, and they returned back home, right? You're always going to be better at home. And I thought game six was the deciding game in the series. Per stats guru Dick Lipe, for the 148th game seven in NBA history, Boston is 26-10 all-time in game sevens, 22-5 at home. Miami's 6-5 in game sevens, 0-2 on the road. Three teams have forced a game seven after coming back from 0-3 deficit. All three have lost, but none of the three played the 0-3 at home. I think the interesting other element or angle to it is it feels like we're taking it a little bit easy on the Heat. It's like, oh, well. And now I understand that they had an injury to Gabe Vincent. He's back. They haven't had Tyler Hero, but Tyler Hero didn't play with them last series either. And they had the 3-0 lead without Tyler Hero. And don't give me Victor Oladipo. Nobody expected Victor Oladipo, despite another horrific knee injury, to be a true contributor here in playoff time, right? He's not the same guy, and now I don't know if he'll ever play again. But the point is, like, the Golden State Warriors had a 3-1 lead. 3-1 lead. And remember, they were in position much like the Boston Celtics. Even though they had the lead, they weren't coming from behind. They had games, 5 and 7 at home. Right? 3-1 lead. Now, they were helped out by, the Cavs were helped out by, one thing that nobody mentions is Andrew Bogut got hurt, I believe, in game 5, didn't play in 6 and 7, and he was a rim protector, a great passer, and set some of the best legal and illegal screens in NBA history. But also, it changes your rotation, changes everything about you. And then they didn't have Draymond Green when he got suspended. But that is because they won a title, I guess, right? Because they had won 73 regular season games. What's weird is we would all admit that the regular season isn't really a predictor for the playoffs. I mean, does anybody remember who the one seed in the East was last year? The answer was the Miami Heat. Right? Nobody, like, regular season records don't. But apparently it matters in terms of how we view the collapse. Because make no mistake about it. Right? You're up 3-0. Two of the 3 games you have lost are at home. And that's a collapse of historic proportions, however you want to look at it. So is it a historic comeback? Yes. Is it a historic collapse? Yes. Are my expectations that the Celtics win? Sure. And by the way, this is why the NBA have a 7-game series. You know, they used to have shortened series early in the playoffs. And of course, they have the play-in tournament. But the idea is they want the best team to advance. And the more games you play, the more you think cream rises to the top. And it is weird that we seem to be not mentioning the collapse of the Heat along with the comeback of the Celtics. And I guess it's because of seeding. But the interesting part is, seeding hasn't mattered in most of the NBA playoffs. The Lakers shouldn't have been, but they were actually favored as a 7 seed over the Denver Nuggets. I got more on that upcoming. We got NBA news. You got Rick Bucher about to join us. They say good things come to those who wait. 2023 Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. It takes no time at all to set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. I did not know that anybody had a Miami Heat flag, let alone sparklers that went with it. Then they had their own, like, victory parade. I would love to see the next video of what happened after that, the, that family found out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So do you guys remember when Jimmy Garoppolo, who Colin has this, I don't want to say like a thing for, but kind of a thing for, right? I mean, he really likes to talk about how handsome Jimmy Garoppolo is. And he's a good-looking human being. But you remember when Jimmy Garoppolo was supposed to announce, they're supposed to have a press conference to announce the signing with the Raiders, and it was delayed by a couple of days. Well, turned out that Garoppolo underwent surgery for his injured foot in March after signing with the team. He's yet to take the field with the new club in OTAs. And there's a new report from Pro Football Talk that highlights that his injury forced the Raiders to put a waiver in Garoppolo's contract. It's called Addendum G. Addendum G. That sounds like a really cool either
sci-fi flick.
Sci-fi flick. Right. Coming in March. Addendum G. Right. Specifically centered around that foot injury. The addendum notes that Garoppolo acknowledges that he would not be able to pass the team's physical due to the pre-existing injury, and it continues to say that Garoppolo acknowledges and assumes the risk of further injury, including permanent disability. It's basically so that they can't get sued and his contract doesn't become injury guaranteed because he's carrying with him, in a litany of other injuries, this injury. But, look, I don't know, and I don't think most people know what Tom Brady's doing. But we can point out that Tom Brady, there's been reports of, hey, I don't know if I want to do that Fox TV deal. He's taking a year to kind of figure out what he wants to do. Meanwhile, he's buying a minority stake in the Raiders. And, of course, there was the widely, like the poorly kept secret, the widely held rumor, that the team that he said, I can't believe you're hanging on to that effing guy, was Derek Carr and the Raiders. So, oh yeah, by the way, his former quarterback coach and offensive coordinator is the Raiders head coach and basically runs the whole thing fits. What if Tom's not done, right? And as much as you're like, I don't know, you know, he's a preparation guy. He is. But it's not like he doesn't know that offense like the back of his hand. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, what do these great musicians or comedy acts, what do? They go and they set up shop in Vegas. You know? On one stage you got Britney and the other you got Brady. That's where they go. I need a tour. I'll just go and do a couple months in Vegas a couple times a year for several years. What if Brady becomes the fallback position? Because they have Brian Hoyer there, right, who was Brady's backup. He knows the offense, but it's the Raiders. They got to win. Got to win. I mean, and then think of that division if he did come back. You got Russell Wilson, who he's got to turn this thing around. Pat Mahomes, right now the king of the quarterback kingdom. And obviously you got Justin Herbert, who everybody thinks is one of the best, just they got to win a playoff game. But that Jimmy Garoppolo being hurt is the least surprising news ever. What, Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt? These are stories that have already been written. You know, it's like, Jay Stu, you always say, like, oh, that story, you know, that nobody in Hollywood would buy that story.
They throw it out of the room. It's a script that they would just throw out of the room.
Just throw it out of the room. What was the one the best one was last week with the Mishi Viejo golf pro. And you had people going like, oh, this story, it wouldn't even be made into a movie. You couldn't believe it. It's like, what are you talking about? Tim Cup actually exists.
That movie already exists. Yeah,
it's already been made.
And by the way, there's been a movie about a snail that won the Indy 500.
There has. That one passed the pitch. Got all the way being made. So, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of different premises for movies that you're like, far harder to draw the conclusion they'd be made. But Garoppolo being hurt, not surprising. Garoppolo not being there, not surprising. Brady being on the prowl, not surprising when you look at all these other surrounding factors. Be fascinating.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I have a question for you. Jason Stewart's my producer. It does eventually relate. It does eventually relate to the Nuggets and the streaming for why don't you guys cover the Nuggets? How come you haven't covered the Nuggets? You know, a lot of people think that the reason, for example, newspapers, right? Well, why have newspapers failed? What do you think the reason is that you can get the Orange County Register or LA Times or New York Post or whatever, you can get a paper delivered to your home for like a penny for a year. Right? Newspapers are struggling. What's the number one thing that's hurt their revenue?
Well, I would say the internet access to information and the smartphone.
Okay, but what on the internet? Like stories and websites, etc.?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. It is the internet per se, but it's not actually the stories. Newspapers made their money, a good portion of their money, not just through the ads, through the classified ads. Right? Classified ads. And the crazy thing is, it used to be, you go back in 2000, and I saw some survey in 2002 in Australia. Okay, newspapers, the overall money spent on total classified ads, $1.6 billion. Now, on any type of classified ads, it's actually $1.9 billion. The difference is, it's in all those websites and domains and now in apps where you can, you know, where you can sell things. I mean, obviously started with eBay and, you know, has spread. And now Facebook has their marketplace. There's, what's that other one that like really cheap stuff you can just post on there if you want to sell it? Shoot, I can't even remember.
Craigslist?
Craigslist was an original one. But there's some new ones out there now. The point is that the age-old philosophy of covering the biggest stories and biggest names, the ones that get the most eyes in radio, that play to the widest set of the ears, is not a dated strategy. And I get people, you know, I get people all the time who tell me, like, no, listen, because I posted a tweet on Friday that here's the way it works. Like the Cowboys, if anything happens with the Cowboys, you cover it. Why? They're the most popular and polarizing team in the National Football League. I didn't say most successful. The Kansas City Chiefs are way better. It's not close. But when you post something, you do a podcast, you do a show, and if it can be smart, doesn't mean you force it. More people care. And at the end of the day, it ain't about clicks, but it is about clicks. It ain't about ratings, but it is about ratings. So the Nuggets continue to complain and whine about, oh, you never cover us. We get it. I'll admit it. I don't know. I have a dear friend, Brandon Cristal. He does Denver radio. He's the lone exception. He and a former editor of mine, Andy Glockner, who lives in Denver, editor at ESPN.com. Okay, those guys, they both live in Denver. And they're like, oh, we watch it all the time. Like, yeah, but the rest of the world doesn't. So when we say no one watch it, it doesn't mean no single solitary soul. But, like, let's be honest, you don't pay attention to the NBA until the Christmas Day games. Christmas Day games now are secondary games because the NFL has taken over Christmas Day. You're still worried about college football, the NFL, till we get to February. Keep in mind that it is true. I mean, even when Embiid didn't play a second game against Jokic, so many times these teams, they don't even play their best players. Like, nobody watches. And in the nobody watches, it doesn't mean not a single solitary soul. But in comparison, when there is LeBron fatigue, but the LeBron numbers are always bigger. There's some Steph fatigue, but the Steph numbers are always bigger. And it's not that you don't have a valid complaint. And it's not that you can't use it as a motivator. Hey, nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about us. Zero people are talking about us. But you got to mention it once and then let it go. Right? You have to. The real way to do it is, it's like with LeBron. Remember LeBron and his barbershop show, which he claimed to invent and wanted to trademark it, even though it's existed for years. Anyway, LeBron said, well, like, when we came from 3-1 down, we won that series, that's when I knew I was the greatest player ever. Like, okay, look, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that LeBron thinks he's the greatest player ever. I don't doubt that Kobe Bryant thought he was the greatest player ever, or that Michael Jordan knows he's the greatest player ever. And even though Magic Johnson claims Kobe was the greatest Laker ever, deep inside, you ask Magic, he knows at the time, he was the greatest player. And Larry Bird's right there as well. But the reason it felt a little off-putting, the reason it felt a little off-putting was you gotta let other people say that about you. You don't say it about yourself. Other people say it about you. And when other people say it about you, right, it's the same thing here. Where Brendan Malone, that's his dad. I'm sorry. Mike Malone constantly beating the drum of nobody pays attention to us. We don't get enough love. I did think this was interesting. Charles Barkley was on with Dan Patrick on Friday. He did say this about LeBron and the retirement talk.
You know them fools on ESPN were going to talk about it. They still talking about it. You know, it's funny. I actually turned my television off the next day because the first two blocks were all about LeBron instead of what the Denver Nuggets has accomplished. Yeah, I think he did it intentionally. There's no way he's retiring. LeBron's such a good dude, and he got his stuff together. I was disappointed he took the shine away from the Nuggets.
Okay, a couple things here. What's interesting about the LeBron retirement thing was the 2 days previous to Game 4, there was suddenly stories, and I think it started with Windhorst saying, like, this could be it for LeBron. And that story clearly comes from his camp, which probably comes from LeBron, may come from just his camp. I don't know if it was as a deflection of the fact that they just got swept. Probably should be. You'd have to think part of it is LeBron trying to maintain some level of power. I didn't for one second, not one second, believe Collins, hey, you could trade him to the Warriors thing. This is not happening. He's not leaving the city where one son plays college basketball, the other son plays high school basketball, and his daughter and wife are. Like, no, that's not happening. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Lakers aren't going like, hey, you know, we have one of the two most valuable assets in the NBA, especially to our cable network, our cable channel, and to selling seats. The Clippers are opening a new arena. Like, we got to get people in the building. Let's give him away to the Golden State Warriors for younger play. Like, that's not happening. That's not the Laker way. They're not doing that. It's an impossibility. It's not even, honestly, all due respect to Colin, and I know he was just kind of echoing what he read on The Ringer. It's a complete nothing burger. But the point is that I don't think LeBron did it to take away shine from the Nuggets. I do think he took it to deflect any sort of criticism over getting swept. And it's the age-old LeBron, I can't do it myself sort of thing. And we need more help. And the truth is he does need a bunch more help because he's 38 years old. But it wasn't a great look. But neither is a good look with the Denver Nuggets. Look, every series when a team loses, when the Sixers lost in Game 7, they fired Doc Rivers, and there's all the talk of James Harden, will he return to Houston as a free agent? Wasn't there? When the Golden State Warriors lost to the L.A. Lakers, the talk wasn't about, there was a little bit about LeBron and staff and legacies and whatever, but for the most part, it's, hey, Draymond's a free agent. What are they going to do? And the next day, they had their exit interviews, and Steve Nash was like, we're not a championship contender if not for Draymond Green. And you're like, okay, well, they're going to trade Jordan Poole. That's pretty obvious. Every one of these series, we talk about the team that loses because the team that wins, well, they have another whole other series for us to talk about. And I just like, look, Nuggets, we get it. Nobody pays attention to you. I'm guessing in Denver. I don't live in Denver. But I know enough about Denver sports to know it's Broncos, 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 Broncos. And then, you know, Avs and Nuggets and Rockies somewhere secondary, tertiary, and even beyond. Now imagine that nationally. You've never won a championship. Your best player is a foreign-born player. The best postseason performance you had since Carmelo Anthony or even is when you were in the bubble. So why should we? There's no reason to throw them on this whole, like, well, they're not on national TV. They would be on that. Just so we're aware, okay, there's different parts of TV companies. But programming, all that they do, their entire job, okay, as programmers is find the best available games that they can put on their network and then find the best times to put it on their network. And the only determinant isn't what about the kids. It's what gets the most eyes. Why does the game start at 5:30? Well, it allows people on the West Coast to watch, people on the East Coast to watch. Why does the NCAA tournament championship start at 9 whatever on the West Coast? Or start at 6:30 because they're trying to get the most possible. There's a math to it. Right? You want it to be on the East Coast, you want it to end. You know, if it's CBS, you know, they want it to end just into 60 minutes. Right? Like a couple minutes into 60 minutes. Then 60 minutes gets a huge, what you would call runoff. Like we do this in all in TV, in business, in sports, right? Whatever your whale podcast is, your whale TV show is, your whale basketball NBA finals game. Like, look, ESPN and Disney, they put in all this money for the ABC to get the NBA finals. So they're going to adjust the days, the game times to get the most eyes. And they do the same thing in the regular season. Nobody's out to get you. Nobody's trying to dismiss your talent. It's just simply about what gets the most people watching and talking. Now, there's creative and clever ways in which you can talk about some of these secondary and tertiary teams in terms of popularity. And that's you got to challenge yourself to put that in the big boy discussions. But it's not because we don't like Denver or don't respect Denver. It's just because nobody watches. Nobody cares until they care.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Jeff Benedict joins us. He's a best-selling author, and he's done now the, would it be Triumvirate, Jeff, right? You did a biography on, the new one is LeBron. It's out. It's available wherever you pick up books or if you want to, you know, download the audio version as well. But he's done Brady. And he's done Jeter as well. Is that triumvirate? Is that how you you're the wordsmith? How would you term? I mean, excuse me, Tiger Woods, yeah. LeBron James, and Tom Brady. Is that the triumvirate?
Triumvirate's an interesting word, Doug. I'll take it.
Okay, help me out. Like part of your intense research. And by the way, Jeff was kind enough to spend about a half hour, 45 minutes with me on a podcast called All Ball. In which he kind of took us through all the different and fascinating looks at, for example, when LeBron chose Miami, what that was actually like for him emotionally. Different look at some of the stories that you think you know, just a much deeper dive. But help me out. Leading up to Game 4, a couple days before, there was the, hey, this might be it for LeBron. Then there's some questions, and we know he's coming back. But help me. You've explored this. Why would that be part of the conversation for LeBron James when previously it was all about playing with Bronny?
Well, I mean, I think you have to just stick with what he said. You know, first of all, he's coming off a heck of a playoff run, a long run, especially for someone who's 38 years old and has played 20 seasons on a team this year that started off terribly and then, you know, went much deeper than I think anyone expected them to in the playoffs. And, you know, minutes after the game is over, you start facing questions about the future. And, you know, when he said, I have a lot to think about, that's a very true statement. He has more to think about than anybody else in the NBA because he's been the face of the league for 20 years, which is a huge mantle to have on your shoulders. And look, it's going to be different when LeBron's not there anymore, just like it was different when Michael wasn't there anymore. He'll leave behind a huge hole. I don't see anybody on the horizon right now who's capable of filling that hole. And he's got so much more going on in his life partly because he is so much older than the average age of players in the NBA. And it is similar in a sense to when Tom Brady was facing the same decision. He was so much older. He was playing with guys whose fathers had played with Tom. And LeBron's in that same position now, where there are guys coming into the NBA who are the sons of people that he's played against. It's, they're generationally different, and because they've been so good for so long, LeBron and Tom, they've built so many other facets to their life, one of which is families. You know, they have kids now that are old enough to be getting ready to go off to college, and there just aren't many players in the NBA who have as much going on in their life as LeBron. And so I think that's what you saw in that press conference, was him basically saying, without going too deep into it, is that I have a lot to think about.
I know you wouldn't say, like, on a personal level, you know him like his friends know him, but because you've studied it and because you've written this book, I think you have a really good sense of the person that he is. I don't think any of us dispute when he goes out, he's going to go out on a victory tour, right? But does he want to play if he's not, like, what is the level of competency he feels like he needs to be able to still play? Because I think that's the hard, that was, like, Kobe, I had drinks with Kobe, and he was miserable his last season because he just wasn't good enough, right? Somehow he put together that 60-point game, and it was because, honestly, he had signed the contract, and he said he's going to fulfill it, he said he's going to do it, and they were filming a documentary the whole time as well. Like, it was all part of posterity. But, like, in the process of it, he didn't like playing because he wasn't up to his level. What's the level that LeBron needs to be at in order to keep playing?
I mean, it's a good question, and I think what's really difficult for, again, I'm going to make a comparison between him and Brady, is that throughout their career, they kept their bodies tuned like Formula One race cars.
Sure.
You know, they did things, and they made sacrifices, personal sacrifices, to keep their bodies the way they were for so long, which is part of what's enabled them to be great for so much longer than the average sort of greatness run for an athlete. And LeBron's demonstrated. I mean, this year he's done it plenty of times where he showed you in game four, he's still capable of dominating. He's still capable of putting up 40 points and doing all these things, but he's not 24 anymore. And they're just like Tom wasn't 24 when he was playing in his early 40s. There are physical limitations. There are certain things he can't do that he used to do. Jordan went through this. And so, I mean, LeBron's made it pretty clear he's not in it for the fun of going to the playoffs. He wants to win. Tiger says the same thing, Tiger Woods, when he goes into tournaments, but he isn't really capable of winning now because his body just, he has trouble making it through four rounds physically. LeBron's not there. His body's in much better place than Tiger's, but I think that that's the hard calculation he has to make, the same calculation Tom had to make. It's less of a physical one and more of a mental, emotional one. Like, do you have what it takes to gear up to do this again? Because it is a grind. The NBA season is so long. It starts so early. And if you're going to make the playoffs, it's almost year-round. And for LeBron, it is year-round because he trains like he's still in season. And so I think that's really the question for him, is how many more times is he going to, you know, lace up the shoes and go about it the way he goes about it? It's, you know, clearly really close to the end.
What would and again, I've read the book. Thank you, by the way, for setting it for me and for doing that pod. But for somebody who hasn't read the book, what do you think would surprise them the most?
What would surprise them the most?
Yeah.
I think it's the it's his origin story. I think, like most people who are, you know, ultra famous, they're largely misunderstood because there's a certain sort of cocoon around them. There needs to be for protective reasons. But I think LeBron's origin story is the most surprising. People think they know it, but they really, we really don't know it. And his origin story is more like something out of a novel. It's one of those times where the cliche that fact is better than fiction is true. In this case, it's real and appropriate. I think what LeBron had to go through as a child and as a young man is so unusual, and the odds were so stacked against him to get out. that it informs a lot of who he is today. People say things about him all the time. Like, they question everything he does, every decision he makes. But a lot of the things he does and the decisions he makes are really informed by what he went through as a young man and how he was raised. And it says a lot about why he's been with the same the girlfriend that he had in high school, who's now he's married to with as a wife with kids. The inner circle that he has, Rich Paul and Maverick and Randy, these are guys that he picked to be his friends when he was a teenager. A lot of these things are, I mean, these are the things that are so rare about him. The basketball stuff is easy to see because you can watch it on TV. But if you look at the things he's done in his personal life, his private life, there's a lot of evidence there that LeBron has been really wise in picking his friends, picking who he associates with, and then sticking with them for the long haul. It has a lot to do with why he's in the place he's in today, meaning he's so well-positioned when he steps off the stage of basketball for the rest of his life.
You know, there was some talk going back to last week about, hey, you know, listen, you could trade him to the Golden State Warriors and get back a bunch in return. And my thought was, well, first, the Lakers would never do it. More than anything, like, LeBron's not doing it. Bronny's going to play down the street at SC. Bryce is going to be at Campbell Hall now. Can you see any possibility that he doesn't live and play in Los Angeles, considering where his sons are playing?
All I would say about that is, because I don't have any
right
information on any of that, but here's what I would say is that what people, fans, need to do in situations like this is Brady, there was all the speculation in New England about what Tom would do, right, at the end. Would he leave the Patriots? Would he not? You know, people couldn't fathom that he would. And what I would say here is, look at the family. These decisions at this stage of a guy's career like LeBron or Tom, the decisions are going to be driven largely by family. And so if you look at where the family is and what the family needs, that's what's going to be the guiding light for the decision in the end, where someone's going to be, where they're going to play, what they're going to do. And that's what I meant when I was referring to earlier when I said he's in a different place than most players. He's almost 40 years old. He's a father and a husband with children that are growing up and venturing out into the world. The status of his family and the needs of his family, that's what's going to guide the decision more than anything. If LeBron wasn't such a family guy, I wouldn't say that. But he is a family guy, just like Tom is a family guy. And so they are, at a certain level, they are like the rest of us in the sense that they're husbands and dads with kids, and they have to run a household and get kids through college, and they have to do all those things too. And just like the rest of us, those decisions factor very heavily into, like, employment decisions. And that's how I would look at this.
Jeff Benedict, who's a best-selling author, the new book's called LeBron. You should pick it up. It's awesome. Of course, he also has the Tiger Woods biography and the Tom Brady biography. All three fantastic, fantastic reads. Jeff, thanks so much for your time. Happy Memorial Day, and appreciate you joining us in the Herd.
Thank you.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.